Good morning. This is Scott Mitchell with Let the Bible Speak. We are on our, 15th, 14th, 15th, 16th show. Now, I've lost count. It's crazy. But I'm going to welcome everyone to our show. 21st. Okay, I was wrong. 21st show. Yeah. Okay, I have with me this morning John Bingham. Is this your third? Second or third?
Third, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. He normally attends over at Eastland, and he's over here with us. We're going to be talking about truth today. And we've done a series on Calvinism. We're on we did finish up week four of that last week. Next week, Dan Langford, who's also from the Eastland congregation, is going to be here to talk about the last tenet of Calvinism. We'll get to that next week. I work with the congregation at El Bethel, about 3 miles down the road. And as Theron mentioned before the show, we have the show is being recorded in front of a live studio audience today. And I have I have the man responsible for this mess sitting in the room with me. So
Responsible for this mess is upstairs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Lloyd and Sandra Arnold are with us today, and I thank them for coming in. So, John, we're talking about truth today, so I'm going to let you kind of introduce what you might want to tell them about yourself. A little bit, and then we'll go from there.
You did a great intro. I appreciate that. I am over at the Eastland Congregation in Louisville on Bardstown Road. Enjoy being a part of that group there, and always enjoy being able to come over here and work with you and be able to do some things. Today is what, August 18th, and tomorrow is August 19th. Lord willing, I'll be back up tomorrow morning here, 9:30 for the Bible study portion, and 10:30 for the worship assembly.
Not here at the school, here at El Bethel.
Here at El Bethel, the El Bethel Church down on 66,
correct?
And so we'll be glad to be here tomorrow morning as well. If you haven't had an opportunity to come join us, we'd be glad to have you come.
So professionally, in your secular life, what do you do?
I teach economics and statistics, the fun stuff, at Indiana University Southeast.
There you go. Well, good.
Yeah.
You got a new job, right? You got a new job, Scott?
John or Scott?
Oh, sorry, John.
Oh, well, hey, what are you guys, right? Able to do some of this work like we've got going on right here because I'm being supported a little bit to do so, and Lord willing, next summer, be able to do more extensive traveling to work with a few congregations.
That's
over
excellent.
The summer.
Well, good.
So a little bit of schooling and a little bit of ministry work.
Yep.
That's good.
So how long have you been a Christian? Around the Bible kind of thing.
Yeah. I was raised in a Christian home, and so I was converted at the age of 12 and got really serious about things much more so at the age of 19 when I was realizing things even more seriously. And so, yeah, it's been a little while.
So anyway,
since I'm 49 now.
40, you're just a young pup. So
that's
anyway,
that's it.
I'm 50, just so y'all know. So let's talk about truth and how do you want to, we've been talking about balance.
Yeah.
Of course, you've got the question in there from Pilate, what is truth? The best question anybody can possibly ask.
Yeah.
I know it's in the lesson.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're dealing with today is what is truth? How do you deal with the truth? Balance with the truth?
Yeah.
And all those kind of things.
We've had a little bit of discussion about the idea of balance being the need for biblical balance, that whatever the Bible says is the balanced way to look at things is where we need to be. We need to not get out in an extreme in one direction or the other away from what the Bible says is the balanced way to look at things. So we need to first see the value of truth, and then we need to see if truth is balanced with anything. That's what we're going to be talking about today here.
Now, I forgot, we do have our phone systems working now, so if you want to call in and ask questions or make comments or disagree or agree or whatever, number is 812-365-9864, and we have that available for I think this is 2 weeks in a row we've had our phones back. So my phone, you can't call it because it's being used for the Facebook feed this morning, but you can call it after the show at 812-620-4034 if you just want to call and chew on me a while. With that being said, let's rock and roll.
All right, well, first point that we need to think about today is having the truth is essential. And to establish that, we need to look at some things that Jesus was saying as recorded in the Gospel of John. First of all, just what Jesus was saying about himself. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, the first thing that's interesting before we even talk about the truth part is he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What's the difference between the and a?
It's interesting because I read through this lesson again this morning, and every time the truth is mentioned, it says the truth, not some truth or a truth.
Yeah,
every
single
time. And so the difference would be if it's a truth or some. There isn't more.
Right. So. Right. And that's why Jesus ends up saying after he says, "I'm the way." I'm the truth. He ends up saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way that you get to God the Father is through a relationship with Jesus the Son. And so, first thing that everybody has to make a decision about is, I'm going to be serious about Jesus and who he claims to be, and the truth about that, which means it's either Jesus or you reject the idea of Jesus and you open it up and say, you know what, whether you're trying to follow Christ or you're trying to follow Muhammad or you're trying to follow Buddha or you're trying to follow this, that, or the other, it doesn't really matter. Everybody has some element of truth in it. Actually, Jesus doesn't allow for that. Jesus says the only way is through him. He is Lord. And we either recognize the truth of that or we reject him and reject his truth about that. And so that's the first thing that needs to be on the table is simply to understand that. But let's look then, if Jesus is the way and the truth and all of these things, then let's look at what Jesus said about the value of truth. John 8, verse 31 and 32. John 8, verse 31 and 32.
Two of my very favorite verses.
There you go.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If ye abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
So we have to abide in his word to truly... Notice, I don't know how many times we're going to say true or truth or whatever like that today. But to truly be his disciples, we have to abide in his word. And when we do that, we're going to know the truth. And what's that truth going to do for us? It's going to set us free.
The interesting, I noticed a gal was on Facebook the other day talking about our responsibilities to God. And somebody responded to her with, all I've ever read is all you got to do is believe.
Right.
Well, that's part of the truth.
That is part of it,
and that I keep going back to Psalm 119, 160, and it says, "The sum of thy word," or "the entirety of thy word is truth."
Right.
That's the whole idea of what we're talking about.
Right.
Is we've got to look at everything the Bible says in order to know what the truth really is.
Right. And that goes back to...
Cherry picking is a problem for people.
Right, exactly. That goes back to one of the concepts we talked about previously with the balance is... The reason why we have the common phrase of, are you going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, is because we're trying to pin people down to, making sure that they are fully accurate in the truth, rather than just giving a snippet and ignoring some other elements of the truth that are equally as vital.
Well, and the verse we just read talking about, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth. The only way to know it is to read his word and then accept it.
Right.
But you got to go back to what you said originally. Is he who he claimed to be?
Right.
And do we care?
Yeah.
And are we going to do anything about it?
Yeah.
And the only way to answer all those questions is to be in the word, studying and understanding what it says.
Right. And to take him as seriously as he says we have to.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I keep bringing up this book, that book by Doy Moyer called Mind Your King.
Right.
That book talks about the implications of living under a king. And I don't think we think about it.
Yeah.
You know, we're Americans. We're free. We get to do what we want.
Right.
we're not. Jesus, if we have that attitude, Jesus isn't our king.
We don't understand the lordship, kingship, actual relationship that we're supposed to have because we don't live under that.
I know
that
I'm diverting you, so
no,
I'm sorry.
No, 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 that's
good.
It's just
we've got to get these, help people see these things.
Right.
Because this decision about who he is the most important decision we'll ever make.
Right.
It is the decision in our lives.
That's it. And again, if you want to be set free from what? Set free from sin? Mm-hmm. Set free from the devil's ways?
Yeah.
Set free from all the lies that are out there? Mm-hmm. Set free from fake news, if I can say that? Because, you know, fake news has been there since the beginning of time. Do you know where the first fake news was?
Probably back in Adam and Eve.
Genesis 3, the first fake news. Yeah. God had said, eat that and you will die.
You will not surely die.
And the devil just came along and said, you will not surely die. The first bit of fake news right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been this relationship of the truth of God versus the lies of the devil.
Yeah.
And if you want to be set free from the lies of the devil, you have to embrace and go after and desire the truth of God.
Yep.
So that's what that's talking about. Let's go to John 16, verse 13, where it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus is saying he's about to go away from the disciples, and he promises that he's going to send the Spirit, and he calls him.
Really big word coming up here, but go ahead.
Okay. He calls him the Spirit of truth.
Yep.
When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into...
Big word, all...
All the truth. How much is that?
Allest.
Yeah, allest. Yeah. The allest amount of truth.
You don't mean all our truth, right?
Any aller than any of that. Yeah, that's right. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will declare to you the things that are to come.
Yes.
The Spirit of truth was promised to the disciples, the apostles, and that he would guide the apostles into all the truth.
Yeah.
And so later on then, John 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying to the Father and says, sanctify them, set them apart, make them special, make them holy, save them. In what? Sanctify them in the truth. And what's the basis of the truth? Your word is truth. So remember, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Why? Because you're abiding in my word. So he reiterates that the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Word of God is the basis of truth that we've got to have there.
And I keep talking, you know, we've got to help, we've got to come to the understanding too that Jesus and God and the truth and the Word are all the same.
Right.
The Spirit is the same. He's not going to lead Sandra to one idea and me to another. He can't.
Right.
He can only speak the mind of God.
Right.
Jesus can only speak the mind of God.
Right.
And so when we read this word, the Spirit isn't going to lead you to believe one thing and me another.
Right.
He can't.
That's right.
It's impossible.
And
there's
if
one
you
truth.
Feel like, if you feel like you've got some spirit that is teaching you something and leading you to a conclusion, but that conclusion is different from what God's word says, that spirit is not from God. Can't be.
It can't be. And we have to understand that.
Right.
If this is delivered once for all, which it claims to be, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, if all scripture is inspired, so what we're reading is God's mind.
Right.
We got no business messing with it.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway.
Yeah. And so John, the apostle, writing the Gospel of John, stamps it toward the end with his own testimony about his own eyewitness. John 19, verse 35, he says, he who saw it has borne witness. And John is one of those who always speaks in the third person about himself.
All the time.
Yeah. And so he's really talking about himself. He says, I saw it. I'm bearing witness to this. My testimony is true, which he finds to be very important to say. And he keeps going and he says, and he knows that he is telling the truth. John knows that John is telling the truth.
Yep.
For what purpose? That you also may believe.
Yep.
What you believe has to be based on true testimony.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this on Wednesday nights quite a bit. And back then, in a court, you had to have more than one witness to the situation. And he's witnessing, we have all these men who are eyewitnesses to this. And that's all he's saying is, look, I saw this. Right. It's true. You can count on it because I saw it.
Right.
And so.
And Paul ends up going ahead and saying, you know, I'm writing these things down, Ephesians 3, I'm writing these things down so that you will have my understanding of the mystery of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, so when Paul was being led to write these things down, these things are all written down so that we have the Word of God and we have their understanding of the whole truth that was revealed to them at that time.
If we'll handle this correctly, we will eliminate problems like Calvinism. We've been spending a lot of time on that.
Right.
We'll know false teaching.
Right.
We don't have to know. I keep telling my kids, and we don't have to know every lie.
Right.
But if we know the truth, we'll know a lie when you hear one. That's why it's important to know all this.
Right. Exactly.
And not cherry pick and pick certain verses, and like you said weeks ago, not let one verse nuke another verse.
Right.
They don't cancel each other out.
Right. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow as well. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, in the lesson that I'm wanting to present tomorrow, we're going to look at a popular doctrine. You may have heard of something called the Romans Road to Salvation.
Yep.
And the Romans Road to Salvation has certain elements that are true, and we're going to present that at the beginning of the lesson. But the problem is, it doesn't have all of the truth, and so we're going to start to talk about what additionally needs to be added in from God's Word in order to correct some of the things that are lacking in the Romans Road. So if you've heard of the Romans Road,
are you going to use PowerPoint?
No, I don't think I'm going to use
tomorrow. I was going to ask you if you're going to use that picture or that road you showed me.
Actually, I'm going to have that picture in one of the pages.
All right.
And so there's going to be a handout with it that has a big picture with it. That's going to be there. And it actually is the first of a couple, maybe three lessons or something like that.
Yeah.
That I want to break out different parts of the things that need to be added in order for the Romans Road to actually be taught correctly. And so we'll dive into that tomorrow, building on these topics that we have today.
So,
you had something.
Well, just the word reconcile keeps coming. You know, when people read, like you just mentioned, that Romans contains some of the truth.
Yeah.
And people take that and don't look at the rest of what the Bible says.
Right.
Or they well, this says this, so that can't mean that.
Right.
Kind of thing. We've got to reconcile these things, understand that all of it is the truth.
Right.
And we have to, you know, stack it up like Psalm 119, the sum of God's word. You have to stack it up and add it all up and look at the whole big picture rather than just pieces of it. And that's what we're trying to get people to understand.
Yeah, if we take one passage in order to get rid of another passage, it's a problem.
Yeah.
But if we take both passages and find how they can agree and harmonize together, then we're getting to the truth.
And if we can't do that, let's be honest with what we're doing. If we cannot do that, are we dealing with the truth? Are we dealing with God's mind?
No.
We can't be, can we?
Right, no. No, you've got to have it where it comes into harmony. There are times when things are being spoken of from different perspectives, but when it all comes together, you bring in all of those perspectives and you get a clear picture of what the truth is.
So if we're dealing with something that we all come to a different agreement about, you think that way and I think, well, you know, that's okay for you, but I want to believe what I want to believe.
Yeah.
Can we serve God that way?
Either one of us is right and the other one is wrong, or maybe both of us are wrong.
And I've said that
but
to people.
You know,
I said we can both maybe be wrong about this, but we can't both be right.
Right.
And we have to be humble enough to accept that. I think you've got humility coming up in the lesson. I won't cover that too much, but you know, there's some verses about being humble before.
Right.
And
right.
So.
Right.
But that
and
idea.
Being able to be receptive to, you know, Apollos ended up preaching everything that he understood up through the baptism of John, but he didn't understand everything after the baptism of John.
Yeah.
And he was humble enough, even though he was a very eloquent speaker and all that kind of stuff, he was humble enough that he was willing to sit down, listen to, be shown more completely what the truth of God was, and then he took it, and he was a full, faithful member of the body of Christ.
If you're just joining us, Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. If you want to call in, 812-365-9864, and do you agree or disagree or ask questions, or you can go to Facebook Live. You can post questions there. If we can't get them today, we'll answer them at another time. I promise I'll get to them, or John will get to them, or Theron will get to them, or somebody will.
He'll get
to them. If you get a question to us, we will answer it somehow. With the truth. So anyway, just wanted the 812-365-9864. Go ahead, Bub.
Okay, so let's move into 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. Yeah. Paul ends up having some statements about the value of truth. He says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. The church is the household of God. Mm-hmm. And what is the church supposed to do? It's the pillar and the support of the
truth.
Truth. You knew truth was coming there, didn't you?
I had to be.
Yeah, that's right. The church has to be about upholding the truth rather than the church being something that supports lies. Mm-hmm. And so that's how God designed it, the purpose of the church. Yeah. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Sure. Let me get it?
Yep.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
There you go. We have to do our best in order to be approved, mm-hmm. and we're supposed to rightly handle the truth, the word of truth, mm-hmm. which implies that if we're not doing our best, we can wrongly
handle
the word of truth.
By implication, that's exactly what that means. I mean, just because we claim to have the truth, which we'll get to that in a minute as well, doesn't mean we do.
No, right.
We can be wrong about what we think is true.
Yeah, we've got to be diligent about, which is what another translation says here.
And by that,
I can be wrong
about what I think. I've got to be willing to change, just like everybody else.
But when people come to have that conversation, we need to be coming with Bibles open, willing to look at all passages to be able to figure out what the truth is.
Remove all preconceived ideas.
Right.
And just read it.
Right, right.
I think God's able to communicate with us.
That's right.
In a way we can understand.
And yet, we're going to see pretty soon,
yeah.
if we don't want to rightly handle the word of truth, God will give us a wide open door to just start going after falsehood in any way we want.
Which goes right back to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, God told Isaiah, you go preach the truth so they won't listen.
Right. He says, they're not going to listen to you, but your responsibility is...
You're going to give them the choice.
Yeah.
And they will refuse it, but you got to offer it to them. But they're going to refuse it.
Right.
And so there may be somebody out there who says, "Well, I've got the truth, and I don't care." And they could be wrong, but they've got to humble themselves and be willing to look at what the truth really
is. That's right. That's right.
And so that idea of even you go back to Isaiah 1, and God says, "Why are you trampling my court with your sacrifice? I don't want these."
Yeah.
Because they weren't dealing with the truth.
Right.
The way anyway. That's. Right. That's kind of cool that the way this thing keeps coming up over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
God's word,
yeah.
It's all over the place.
The framework is how truth is so essential.
Mm-hmm.
The framework is you can't please God without the truth being there.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is Jesus emphasizes this again back in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, when Jesus is talking to Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus ends up saying, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world." What's the cause that he came into the world? "That I should bear witness to the truth."
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." If you want to have a relationship with Jesus, you have to be of the truth. So that's the primary reason for Jesus coming and existing on the earth and all that. Pilate responds back, "What is truth?" Mm-hmm. Now, why would Pilate respond that way? Who is Pilate? Pilate is the governor of this part of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm. And so for a Roman to hear, or somebody who doesn't know anything really about Jewish law,
right,
or anything else, well, there are all kind of truths out there. So what is the truth?
And also, this is just a politician.
Yeah.
And you think about, again, not getting political, but just recognizing the reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. Politically, there's all this stuff about fake news back and forth, charges from one side against the other, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And I've dealt with a few things by appealing to the mayor and some local stuff in the Louisville area. Not that any of the shenanigans would go on up here in southern Indiana.
How'd they go for you, John?
There's so few people. There are so few people who are actually interested in what is true and what is accurate, as opposed to how they could lawyerly shade it their direction and distort things in order to gain advantage.
That doesn't happen in
I was told. No. I'm sure that wouldn't be any problem up here. But in some places, politicians end up getting to the point where they know they're being lied to from every side.
Yeah. When and Pilate's probably right there.
Yeah. And so Pilate's sitting there going, You're talking to me about truth as if that matters? What is truth?
Yeah.
You know?
Which is, and it's a great question.
Yeah.
If it's asked for the right reason.
Right. Yeah. He was just like, as if.
What is it anyway?
Well, and so locally, whenever I ended up putting some stuff together, which was a great thing, and I was like, hey, I want to show this to these elected officials. And one of the elected officials said to me, quit bothering people with that.
Great.
They don't care, because there's just a difference in the world about really having the integrity about truth. It's what advantage can
don't
you
bother
get?
Me with the truth.
So, but Jesus is different, and the people who will have the heart to follow God will care about integrity, will care about the truth, and will care about the truth of Scripture, and will go after it. Okay, so. Who's the father of lies? John 8 verse 44 says that the devil is the father of lies. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Mm-hmm. And so there's this clear contrast. Let's look at Romans for a second just to see how God views following after lies versus following after the truth. Middle
we're getting
page
close
two.
To the top of the hour here.
We are. We're prepping for that. We're
getting, okay.
Forget. I'll ignore. Just go on. Romans 1. Go ahead.
You go ahead. Romans 1:18. If you got it there.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth.
Okay. So either we will be seeking the truth of God, or if we replace it with unrighteousness in any direction away from any of the lies of Satan, that's suppressing the truth, and the wrath of God comes after that.
So what about those people out there who say that we're being judgmental and saying that they're unrighteous? How do we know what's righteous and what's not?
What does the word say?
Simple. Good answer. Go ahead. I mean, that's all, folks. There is a way to tell whether someone is producing good fruit or bad fruit.
Right. Right. And it's judged against whatever the word says.
And isn't that what Jesus said? The word that I've given you is going to judge you?
Yeah, in the last day.
So this book we have in front of us is like the Cliff's Notes of the test of life.
And that's why
And so there's no reason to fail an open book test.
Right. Right. But you've got to be diligent. You've got to be diligent to rightly handle the word of truth.
Yeah.
And that's why when you see my notes, and whenever I turn, whenever I hand out notes to people, I've given up doing a lot of notes myself, and it is, here's this scripture, here's this scripture, here's this scripture, so that you can wrestle with what the Word of God says, instead of it being a debate between two people. Well, I think this, or I think that, or I
think
the other.
Doesn't matter what I think.
Let's go look at the scriptures and see what the scriptures
say. And the really good news is about all these notes. You've got 6 pages of notes.
Yeah.
We're halfway through the show, and we've gone through 1.5 pages.
1.5 pages.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's super.
But we are setting the table.
Yes, we are.
And that works well. That's great. The wrath of... Okay. Uh-oh. We're at 10 o'clock. Are we at 10 o'clock?
Well, he'll tell me when he's
ready. Yeah, we're...
You got 18 seconds. Oh,
18 seconds.
Yeah, you got plenty of time. Just keep going.
So, no. We are now waiting for at 10 o'clock. Oh, you got to wait. You can't go 18 seconds early, can you? You
no,
got to
no,
be
no.
right on the
You're
10
You're wasting
o'clock.
18 seconds.
That's
John.
Right. I'm doing a good filibuster right here. This is how it works. 5, 4, 3. This is so fun. All right. There you are.
You are listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
There you go. Go ahead, carry on.
Excellent, excellent. All right. Romans 2, verse 8, he continues, Romans 1, verse 25, yeah. He continues on and says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie,
yeah,
and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, yeah, and that kind of thing. He goes on in Romans 2, verse 8 and says, but those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth,
yeah,
but obey unrighteousness. It's either obey the truth or it's obey unrighteousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wrath and indignation. That's how God views it.
Yeah.
Is judgment's coming. And it's not my judgment or your judgment. It's the judgment, yeah, of God relative to his tree.
And that's interesting. You brought up, again, this idea of exchanging the truth for a lie.
Right.
It's, we can know. But we can absolutely know,
right,
what the truth is.
Right.
And we can recognize the lies. We don't have to just carry on because we've always been taught something.
Right.
We need to be, God expects each one of us to be responsible to know his truth.
Yes.
On our own, not, yes, because somebody said it, not because somebody is in front of us speaking it, but because we've read it and understand what it says.
And we just need to do our best to humble our hearts,
yes,
to repent, which means changing our heart, mm-hmm, in order to simply say, whatever the word of truth says,
yeah,
that's what I'm going to do. That's when we will rightly divide,
yeah,
and when we'll go after it.
Yeah.
Now, there are some folks who will not want to do that.
Next verse leads right
go
in.
Go right into it. Yeah.
2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 says, for the time will come when they not will, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables.
Okay. Now, either you're going to endure sound doctrine, which is the truth,
mm-hmm,
or some don't want to endure sound doctrine,
yep,
because they have their own desires. And mm-hmm, you can go find any teacher that will end up telling you you're right in anything, yep, you want to, yep, have. But that is turning their ears away from the truth.
Yeah, or, well, I'm not going to say it. Go ahead. I don't want to detract.
Well, I'm going to challenge folks to really start thinking seriously about something.
Yeah.
There is the truth of the Scriptures. Ephesians 4 starts talking,
yes,
about there is one Lord, mm-hmm, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all these ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. Where is denominationalism in that? If people end up saying, you can be Lutheran, I can be Catholic, you can be Baptist, I can be Methodist, you can be whatever all of these different denominations are, mm-hmm, Presbyterian and all that, why is there this division across all of these? It's because we don't agree doctrinally on various points. But that's because there's itching ears toward unsound doctrine in some places.
Yes. And it's just, there are people who will beat their chest and yell at me and say, I know in my heart. I know in my heart I'm saved. I know in my heart that I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
After reading a Bible verse that contradicts what they're telling me.
Right.
That goes back to just not wanting. They want to hear what they want to hear. And I'm ready to fully accept the fact that there may be people I give this CD to who don't want to know what the whole truth is.
Right.
And they're going to ignore all of it.
Right.
I can't change that. What I want to do is find somebody who is willing to say, I had somebody tell me 2 weeks ago. He said, I know I was misled by my parents because of what they taught you, because I can read.
Mm-hmm.
He's honest. I read the Bible, right, myself,
right,
and I can, right, see that what they taught me was wrong.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking for, is an honest heart to examine the Word and, right, be willing to accept. I don't know all the truth yet. I'm still learning.
Right.
That I don't know that I'll ever know all. I'm not. Maybe I'll never be a Paul Earnhardt or somebody like, you know, but I want to be.
Right.
But I want to be better than Paul, if I can be.
Right.
Isn't that what God wants?
Right.
We can't settle for, we can't ever look at God and say, well, God, This is all you get. Like, I'm good as I'm going to be. That doesn't float with God. It isn't going to. And so, anyway.
The humble heart.
We have to be willing to accept it.
And so, that's right. And so, as I'm heading into this next part of the series of lessons, tomorrow and going on, in the examining of the Romans Road, I am going to appeal to everyone who has been taught the Romans Road. And who has accepted the Romans Road as the way that they have come to salvation, that they need to examine the scriptures. They need to, you know, ask.
Can I ask you to be more specific?
Okay.
In case somebody's listening.
Right.
Who don't know, but just kind of give me a couple ideas. What's the Roman Road?
The Romans Road is a claim, and it's very popular, particularly with some elements of, say, the Southern Baptist tradition, but it's not necessarily just the Southern Baptist tradition. A few other denominations are close enough in some of these points that they will latch on to it as well. But it's a claim that you can look in the book of Romans and see the whole path to how to be saved.
Yeah.
And so they line out passages that are true in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is that at the end of their definition of the Romans Road, they have said that basically, once you come to belief and a statement of belief and a sinner's prayer, that is all that the Bible says that you need to do in order to be saved.
So if you want to follow up on those thoughts... John will be at Bethel tomorrow talking about that concept.
That's right. And start talking about that. There's also an assurance that they give that once you're saved, you're always saved, and there is no way that you could fall away from grace.
Which we will cover next week on Radio Show with Dan Langford as well.
Which I'm also covering tomorrow. That's exactly right. We're going to double on that because...
That idea of Calvinism, perseverance of the saints, is once saved, always saved.
Right.
Which Hebrews 6 does away with by itself, but we won't get into that right now.
Right.
But
it also leaves an implication that there is no expectation of obedience to God.
Yeah.
But that, and outside of Romans, here's another teaser that I'll give you. If you've been taught Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but you've never been shown Ephesians 2:10, then you have been told only part of the truth and not the whole truth. Go ahead and read that.
Well, I mean,
Ephesians.
But we want to thank everybody. By the way, we've got listeners. I don't know how many this morning, 6 or 7, I don't know. But people are commenting.
Viewers.
I appreciate
7.
It.
Yeah, 7.
7 now. Viewers. We're close. I want to thank everybody.
700.
Yeah, 700.
So 700,000.
I want to thank everybody for taking the time, whoever they are, to spend time with us this morning in God's Word. I appreciate it. Ephesians 2:10 just says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
Yeah.
And the book of Ephesians, when you start with this idea of walk this way, it's all over the place in the book of Ephesians.
Right.
He even tells us how not to walk.
Right.
You ever teach a kid, teaching a kid how to walk, you ever say, "Hey, don't do it this way, he just says, "You can walk this way, don't walk this way, walk," it's over and over and over again. Which implies
doing something. Right.
And Romans does that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you get to the second, Romans splits up kind of like Ephesians.
Yep.
First 12 chapters are everything God's done for us. The rest of the book is everything we got to do to Him in a proper response to what He's done for us.
Right.
Which implies action.
Right.
Faith implies action. Belief implies action. All those things.
Exactly.
So anyway.
Exactly. But read verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2.
Do I have
2,
to?
8, okay. Yeah.
For by...
Because...
Now, this, I like this because, I'll let you... So, the word grace shows up here. The word work shows up here, and the word faith shows up here, all in the same context.
Yeah.
So anyway, you were going to say something else, though.
Well, people will emphasize verses 8 and 9 only, and I beg you, so many denominational strains of thought. If you're part of a denomination, and you have been taught Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the way that we're going to see it in just a moment, and you've not been taught verse 10, you have not received the whole truth.
No.
And so let's work through that for just a second.
So What I'm going to beg them to do, and I do this, and I didn't do it when I started, it's this simple. Let the Bible speak to you.
Right.
All of it, not part of it. So 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Okay.
Now, so, when you go to verse 11, we'll talk about what those works are talking about, but go ahead.
Yeah.
No.
The problem is, if you take only that and you don't take the context, then depending on the flavor of the denomination, they'll write it as hard as, see, it's about the grace of God. And it's about the grace of God, and yes, there's faith, but that's really part of the grace of God too, or whatnot like that. And so there's faith only, they will add. There's faith only in response to grace, not of works lest you should boast, and therefore no works whatsoever is their conclusion. Which is either the truth or it's a lie, and there's no way between the two of it.
It's not a part. You can't be on the fence with God.
And if you say that not of works lest any should boast means therefore no works, no obedience. You nuke verse 10.
And here's what's interesting. And Dan's coming on next week, and he was texting. Dan is concerned with us trying to undo Calvinism. That we will leave the impression that we're saved by faith only, rather than by works. That idea of, you know, he's afraid we'll swing the Calvinist swung the pendulum way over here.
You can't do anything
to get away from the Catholic idea of being saved
by
works.
Yeah,
the pendulum swung way over here. Well, we got nothing to do with it, and we need to swing it back to the middle. And
which is called what?
Balance.
Yes.
And so we don't want to swing it too far back, folks. You read the book of James. I mean, if you're confused about it, but anyway, I know that's a digression from what we're going to talk about today.
But
this idea of taking everything the Bible says is vital.
That's right. And so to find that balance, rather than to be in an extreme that denies the truth of God, that's what we've got to do. And so the conversation next Saturday is going to be great on that. If you are able to come tomorrow, we'll start by talking about fixing these problems with the Romans Road of the three things that we're going to fix are going to be once saved, always saved, perseverance of the saints. That's tomorrow. The next one's going to be how to balance grace, faith, and works, looking at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 appropriately. And then the third piece is going to be, what must I do to be saved? What's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about what God says? And God does not say, just get to a sinner's prayer, and then you're saved. That's not in the Bible.
And that's certainly not what Romans 6 teaches.
No, that's the thing. Even within the book of Romans.
Oh, Theron has a hand up.
Okay, so your listeners actually have a question.
Okay.
They made a reference to verses 8 and 9.
Yes.
And you want to say it? Go ahead.
You're reading 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is verse 10 that we're supposed to...
I read it before. We just want to go back.
Read it again.
Read 8, 9, and 10
I'll read all three of them together. All
right? That's right.
But then, folks, these are the kind of things we have to be asking. Mm-hmm. All right, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace, I'll save that. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his, this is verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there is not a contradiction between works and works.
Right.
It's a type. It's an attitude and what it is we're trying to do.
That's right. He's
referring to the old law and the works of the law. But
we have to
go to the rest of the chapter to understand that. We can't pull this out and make it mean something
that doesn't mean. If you want to understand the book of Ephesians, if you want to understand the book of Romans, if you want to understand the book of Galatians, if you want to understand anything being pulled out of that, the primary thing that he's arguing against is the old Jewish tradition and thought that by works of the old law, they would be able to save themselves.
Yes. And so what I need to do as a Christian is really learn, when I read quotations from the Old Testament, which Paul does tremendously,
right,
I really have to put myself in the mindset of a Jew and understand what those verses mean.
Right.
Which means I've got to go back and study the Old Testament to see how they thought,
right,
to see how it applies to them.
Right.
And that's what they were able to do.
And within the New Testament context, what some of the Jewish brethren who were trying to follow Christ but also trying to still follow the old law, mm-hmm, what they were doing was saying, for myself and also for every Gentile,
yeah,
you've got to go back and do the works of the law of Moses, particularly circumcision and some things like that.
Plus
then you can also have Christ.
Yeah.
And what Galatians is nailing and Ephesians is referring to and all that is, don't boast in, I've been circumcised and I've done these other things out of the law of Moses. You can't boast in any of that.
No.
That's not what the grace and faith in Christ is about. But verse 10 says, but God has placed works that we're supposed to, yeah, do.
Now let me, because this might upset people.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I've often wondered, I've not asked Lloyd this question, and I should, I may be this, but he told me before he invited me, he's in my classroom talk, he said, you can say things without making people mad.
Ah, good.
I think he would probably not make that statement now, but when we talk about works, what we're talking about is a response, a proper response to what God has done for us. I'm not saying, and John's not saying, that we can pile up enough stuff here that we've done that God's going to say, you know what? You have done enough. Come on into heaven. I accept you.
You've earned it.
That is not, folks, that is not what we're teaching.
Right.
What we're, to help with this, what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, is go to Romans 12.
Go ahead.
Because this idea is the idea we've got to be, when it comes to doing stuff, what the attitude should be.
Right.
And in Romans 12, 1 and 2,
yep,
it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, which implies doing stuff.
Yep.
Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah.
So with the idea of bearing your cross, you know, people talk about that. Well, you know, I guess it's my mother-in-law. That is not what we're talking about.
Right.
It's bearing our cross every day is getting up every day and saying, because of what Jesus did for me on that cross,
right,
I'm going to do whatever comes up in front of me that I can do for God because of what's been done for me.
Right.
It's not that I'm going to pile up these works and prove to God that I'm good enough. I'm not.
Right.
I'm dead to sin. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Right.
Which you got to go to 2 Thessalonians and understand what that grace is.
Right.
It says that the grace of God has appeared to all, bringing salvation. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is the grace of God.
Right.
So I've got to be willing to do whatever. Now, what Paul Earnhardt says is that a Christian ought to be willing to do whatever they can do.
Right.
Whatever that's how he started preaching.
Right.
Is somebody asking me if he wanted to preach? And he's like, well, I guess I can. And so we started preaching because it was something he could do.
That's been fruitful.
Yeah. It's, and so folks, we're not talking about doing enough.
But look at the natural response is going to be the rest of the instructions in Romans 12. If you want to keep going, there's instructions about how we're supposed to give. There's instructions about how we're supposed to serve, how we're supposed to teach.
And that,
all of these things.
That shift from the spiritual in 1 through 11 goes to the physical and starting 12 and the proper. And Ephesians splits up the same way.
Right.
1 through 3.
Right.
And then 4 through 6.
Right.
1 through 3 is spiritual, 4 through 6 is physical.
Right.
And so we have to.
And so you just see that there's naturally works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in.
Yeah, we're down to 11 minutes. And this is flying.
And we haven't gotten off of page 2. So
that's okay.
But
it's okay.
No,
things have to be talked about.
That's right. But I want to pull you back to the last couple of things that we'll probably hit on, and we may be
what
done
page
after
you
that.
On?
I'm still
Same
on page 2.
All right,
we got 6 pages. I'm on page 2.
We're good.
But I want to pull you back to how important this is.
Mm-hmm.
Because either it is true that it is grace and faith only without works, denying works, or that is a lie.
Yep.
And verse 10 shows, demonstrates the context of Ephesians 2. Don't even have to go anywhere else. Verse 10 demonstrates without a doubt that God's word says works are part of it. Not works by which we would boast, but works that God has prepared for us to do as a response in faith.
I'm going to say, because your face got really red the last time I said it because you didn't know what I meant.
Okay.
Is that very Jesus-y to say that what somebody believes is a lie?
I think my face is always going to do this whenever folks, you say listen, Jesus-y.
Yeah, okay. Look, Jesus told people what they needed to know.
Yeah.
And what they needed. He told, and you can read the book of John, he told the Pharisees, you're going to die in your sins.
Yeah.
He wasn't afraid to tell the truth. Now, when we say that this is a lie, we're not implying that you by nature are a lie believer and that, you know, that's all you want to do. What we're saying is you've been taught wrong.
Right.
And you are smart enough to read the Bible yourself to see that.
Right.
Now, are you sincere? Yes. Do you really want to serve God? Yes. Yeah. What we're asking you to do is serve God with the whole truth, not part of it.
Yeah, let me find. There's a passage way at the end of this that
Is it on the last page? What becomes page 7 on my email?
Did I put that in?
Well, there's a blank page, and then page 7 has to. So what verse are you on?
Here's what I want you to go find. I want you to go find 2 Peter.
Well, I can do that right here.
3.
2 Peter 3.
3, verses 14 through 18.
2 Peter 3, 14 through 18?
Yeah. I want you to read that slowly, clearly.
As I would if I was teaching an elementary child. All right.
Let's do it.
Big words.
Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Okay. Now, this is Peter, who gives an endorsement of what Paul has written.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what has Paul written? Paul's written Romans. Paul's written Galatians. Paul's written Ephesians. All these different things, right? And Peter describes what Paul's written as, there are some things in there that's hard to understand. Guess what? You're going to have to do your best in order to rightly divide the word of truth, if you're going to work through some of the things that Paul said and get to the truth of it, okay? But Peter says some of the things that he's written are hard to understand, and there will be those who are unstable who will twist what Paul says to their own destruction. And then he warns Christians and says, you be careful not to follow after the error of that twisting. Because he doesn't want you to be destroyed, which says something about once saved, always saved, too. Yeah.
By the way, Thane, did we answer fully the question that they had about Ephesians? It's 8, 9, and 10 earlier. She asked, was there more question? You said one of our viewers had a question?
Right. What she said specifically was you said you have to include verse 10, and she just wanted you to read verse 10.
Right. Okay.
Which is very Berean. Yeah. That's a great question.
Exactly.
You refer to a scripture and don't read it.
I wanted to make sure that we covered all that. So anyway.
That's right.
Ahead.
And so Peter warns and says, don't follow after people who will twist what Paul says and the rest of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Twist what the Bible says to their own destruction.
Yeah.
Jesus ended up saying, the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the pit.
Yeah.
We've got to be careful not to be part of that. And one other passage that I want to touch on is Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23.
Yeah.
Jesus warns and says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. If you say you believe that Jesus is Lord, that's great, but that's not sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Implies action. Go ahead.
Yeah, does it, right? On that day, what day? The judgment day. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? In here, some of them are even thinking that they're doing things that would be pleasing to God. And Jesus says, I'm going to declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. If you're doing things, thinking you're claiming to be following Christ, mm-hmm. but you're not following the law of Christ.
Yeah. Which goes
he's
back,
gonna reject you.
It goes back to John 8, 31 and 32.
Yeah.
Here's what the viewer says, stay on this. It's good stuff that is key to the Christian walk.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen to that.
It is. Thank you for that. Thank you for that comment. Go right ahead.
So I don't know. John 8, 31 and 32 go exactly with what you said. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth. These people were not, in some way or form, were not abiding in the word of Christ.
Right, right.
Now, they may have been partly, their intent may have been good.
Yeah.
Their every purpose might have been to try to serve God, but they weren't abiding in the word of Christ.
Right, right. And therefore, they didn't really have a relationship with him. They thought they had a relationship with him. But what they thought and the truth of not following what God has told them to do, it doesn't matter whether they thought it or not, the reality was different. So let's go back, because and we're going to be wrapping up here pretty quick. And here's where I want
to
wrap up.
The viewer told us to stay with it. Anyway,
go ahead.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, Sean said we could go over.
He did say
we can go over. So if you need to go over a few minutes, go for it.
Good. Here's where...
Here we go.
We need to I'm going to ask everyone who is involved in any denomination, whatever denomination it may be, how is it that all of these different denominations are all going to be acceptable to God? Go to 1 Corinthians 1.
But tell me what to do.
Go to 1 Corinthians 1.
1 Corinthians.
How is it that all of the different denominations with all of the different teachings that contradict each other, if there weren't differences, you wouldn't call yourselves different names and go after different creeds and all
where
this kind
me?
Of stuff? Verses 10 through 13, I think it is.
So I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me of Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Okay. And so he is sitting there saying, don't start following after different people in name. They weren't necessarily even yet teaching different doctrines, but they were just wanting to start following after and call themselves after a certain famous teacher or something like that. He says, don't divide up into that. The modern equivalent would be, some of you say I'm of Luther, and some of you say I am of the Pope, and some of you say I'm of John Wesley, and some of you say, I am of Calvin, or whoever.
Yeah.
That is not pleasing to God. And so we've got to not do that. And what we've got to do in order to come back together, in order to get rid of the denominationalism and come back, is to endure sound doctrine rather than have itching ears that turn away from the truth in whatever way that we might want to have.
Since we're about out of time, there's one verse that I think, and I use it a lot, and I'm not going to stop using it a lot, kind of epitomizes what a Christian attitude is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's Galatians 2 and verse 20, and I know you can probably quote it, and I can too, but I'm going to read it so people know exactly that, this is English Standard Version. It may read a little differently, but it's going to say the same thing. Galatians 2 and verse 20, listen to what this says. I have been crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have killed myself with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Man and the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Right.
That's the attitude. Is it is not, I'm not doing the walking. I'm not doing the talking. I'm not doing the thinking. I'm letting Christ be my guide.
Right.
And so I'm starting to think more like Jesus. I'm starting to pray for things that Jesus would pray for. I'm starting to do things for people that Jesus would do for people. Right. I'm starting to do those things because God's word has changed me.
Right.
And I'm still working on a lot of stuff, even that's my wife and kids,
yeah.
and trying to become what I'm supposed to be for Jesus. But that's the intent. I'm supposed to, at Judgment Day,
yeah.
when God looks at me, who's he supposed to see? And is he supposed to see the best Scott I can be? He's supposed to see Jesus.
Yeah.
When he looks at me, he wants to see Jesus.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do. When we talk about our daily walk, we're trying to become more like Jesus every day. I'm not trying to become the best me, because that'd be pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
But I'm supposed to be like Jesus.
Right.
And that's the intent.
And Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to do my own thing, I came to do the will of the Father.
Yeah.
And then he says, we have to be about doing the will of the Father.
We're a minute over. Is there anything else you want to say before we...
I only have four more pages.
Just
that's right.
Forget
that's
these
right.
a second.
All right.
All right. And just tell the people that are listening what you want. Just tell them what you want them to know.
What I hope you'll do is, if this has caused you to question something,
mm-hmm.
I hope you will start a conversation by asking Scott or asking me, and saying, you know, I have heard about this Romans Road to Salvation. What is it that you're saying is wrong with it? And let's sit down with the Bible and mm-hmm. start to work through it.
Yeah.
What we're hoping to do is spark the beginning of a conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
To be able to study the Word together and to be able to see what the Word says as a whole, the proper biblical balance. And so if you would, please... Yeah. Start that conversation, ask those questions. Private message me on Facebook if you're a friend of mine. Call
What's your phone
Scott.
Number?
My phone number is 502-645-3098.
Yeah.
Call or text. Let's have a private conversation to challenge these ideas.
Yeah.
And your number?
812-620-4034. Or you can come to Crawford County Middle School and find me. Or Folks, just ask the questions. Now, this is my final plea today before I throw it to Theron for the closing. Folks, I'm begging you with all my heart, and this is all I want you to do, is just read the Bible and let it speak. Theron?
Yeah. And John, did I hear correctly that you are preaching tomorrow?
Yes, I'm preaching tomorrow morning.
And the topic is?
The topic is the first part of looking at the Romans Road to Salvation and properly completing its construction according to God's Word.
According to God's Word. And that's what this is. This is Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. Appreciate everybody listening this morning. You have been listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak. This broadcast has been recorded. It will be available at our website, which is letthebiblespeak.faith. Again, that's letthebiblespeak.faith. And we're also on Facebook. You just search for Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak and it should come right up. Looks like we had a good Facebook Live broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So that video will be available for review in the future. Feel free to check those out if you prefer that. And you can see Scott's handsome smiling mug and those videos as well as John's ever so handsome, but it wasn't until just a moment ago.
There you go.
Ever so handsome smile. And again, we appreciate you guys listening this morning on Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak here on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from, where are we, gentlemen?
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Marengo, Indiana.
Marengo, Indiana. Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.